Welcome to the Adult Explore the Bible Weekly Leader Training Podcast, the podcast where we dive deep into Scripture to uncover timeless truth. This podcast is designed to help teachers prepare to lead a Bible study using Lifeway's Explore the Bible adult resources. Today, we will look at three key questions. First, what is the context of the passage? Second, what do we find in the passage? And third, what's one thing leaders should not miss this week in our leader resources? I'm Amber Vaden, your host. On the podcast with me today is Bob Bunn. Bob is a member of our Explore the Bible team, and specifically, he's the editor of the Leader Guide, Quick Source, the Leader Pack, and Leader Extra that's found on our website every week. Bob teaches Explore the Bible at his home church. Bob, thank you for being on the podcast today.
Well, thank you for the invitation, Amber. It's always fun. I appreciate it.
You always bring a lot of interesting information, so we have high hopes for today, too.
Oh, no pressure then. Great.
Yeah, awesome. Exactly. Well, we're looking at session two today, and in this session, we will examine Joshua chapter 2, verses 4 through 21. Well, let's begin with a look at the context of today's study passage. Last week, we began our new quarter of study in Joshua chapter 1. Moses had died, and Joshua would be the new leader of the Israelites. The Lord challenged Joshua to be strong and courageous as he led the people into the promised land. And the Lord also promised his presence and military victories. Then Joshua prepared the people to cross the Jordan. At long last, they were just on the precipice of Canaan. Well, that brings us to Joshua chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. Joshua sent two Hebrew spies on a mission to scout the land of Jericho. Despite putting herself in danger, a prostitute named Rahab provided shelter and security for them. And while the agents of the city's king conducted their search, Rahab hid the Israelite men among the stalks of flax on her roof. She also misdirected the king's men as they extended their search outside the city walls. Bob, what do you notice in these verses that our leaders will want to be sure and bring out in their discussion?
Well, there's a couple of things, Amber, and honestly, one of them just popped into my head while you're reading that or while you're talking about that, and that is leaders might want to take a look at and have the folks in their classes take a look at the difference between when Moses sent the original spies in Numbers and how he sent spies, how Joshua sent spies this time. There are some differences, and obviously the number of spies, and they didn't necessarily go through the entire land. They were just spying out Jericho. So those are some good compare and contrast kind of things. Just if a leader wants to kind of dig and show how scriptures connect to each other. The other thing that kind of pops out to me, the original thought that I had before that hit, was if I'm a leader, I'm reading this passage and I'm thinking, God's using a prostitute. And not only that, but he's using a lying prostitute, one who's not even honest about it. So how can he do that? And well, first and foremost, God can do whatever he wants. You know, he's sovereign. He is in charge. He is in control. He shows throughout scripture that he can use whoever he wants to control human affairs and to move them according to his plans and his purposes. For instance, he called Abram, out of the land of the Chaldees, out of Ur. There's no indication in scripture that Abram had any kind of relationship with God before that, but God called him out, and through that, he founded the nation of Israel. Later on, he used the nation of Babylon, a pagan nation, to judge his people. And if you read the book of Habakkuk, that really threw Habakkuk for a loop. he did not understand how God could do that. And God basically gave him the answer we just mentioned. I'm God. I can do it however I want to do it. And he basically had to back off and say, yep, you're right. You are. He used Artaxerxes to protect the Israelites in the book of Esther. He used Cyrus of Persia to bring the Israelites back to the promised land. In Ezra and Nehemiah, he even used Augustus Caesar to bring Mary and Joseph into Bethlehem, the census in Luke chapter 2. All these times, God is using pagans, ungodly folks, to do his plan. to make his purposes known, to make his purposes work. And so, you know, if you're curious about whether God can or will use people that seem out of the ordinary, the answer is yes, he will. He'll use whoever he wishes. In this case, he found a willing partner in Rahab. She wasn't perfect, but she was bold and she was open to being used. You know, as far as the lying goes, the scripture doesn't really condone the lying any more than it condones the fact that she was a prostitute.
And you're talking about she lied to the people that were looking for the Israelite spies. And
she said, yeah, they were here, but they left and they went off toward, you know, go chase them in that direction when they were actually up on our roof. So that was the lie. So, you know, the scripture, again, scripture doesn't condone the lying. What it really celebrates is her faith, both here and in a couple of spots in the New Testament where writers reflect back on her faith. Rahab wasn't perfect. She knew who the Israelites were. I believe that she knew who God was and really wanted to follow God and really wanted to be a part of God's plan, but she was new to this. And so she was kind of making it up as she went a little bit. She didn't have the law to go by. She didn't have, you know, all the 40 years in the wilderness learning all the lessons that the Israelites learned. She was trying to make it up as she went along. And, you know, God can forgive a lie. God can use a lie. You know, in the book of Exodus, the midwives lied to Pharaoh. And when he said, why aren't you killing the babies when they're born? And they said, well, they just come too fast. You know, we can't kill them. And the scripture says that God actually blessed them and gave them families of their own because they protected the sanctity of human life. Again, doesn't really condone the lying, but God used it for his glory and for his purposes, including bringing Moses onto the scene. So, you know, for Rahab, she had a real faith. She wasn't perfect. She had a lot to learn, but she was there. She was available and she was willing. And, you know, personally, I find that kind of encouraging because I know I don't always practice my faith perfectly.
Right.
Rarely do I practice my faith perfectly. Most of the time I fall flat on my face, to be honest. But God understands that. God knows that we are human, that we are broken, that we're going to make mistakes. He can forgive us and he can use us in spite of our failures. Whether it's something quote unquote big, like being sexually immoral, like a prostitute, or something quote unquote smaller, those smaller sins, like maybe telling a fib. Either way, God can use us to make a difference for the kingdom as we act in faith, as we attempt to learn how to align ourselves more closely to him, and as we try to make a difference for his kingdom.
Yep. And we may not even know how he's going to use us, you know, and what kind of impact that will make. But he still calls us to, he still calls us to certain things. So,
yes.
Okay, well, let's keep going. Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. After the king's agents left, Rahab explained why she had shown kindness to the Hebrew spies. She knew about the great things God had done for Israel, and she knew that he had given the land of Canaan to his people. In light of the kindness she had shown and her faith in God, she asked for mercy when Israel would come and conquer Jericho. So at first glance, one question that might arise is what led Rahab to even help the Israelite spies? Because frankly, could it have been easier for her to shoo them away and put her and her family out of any harm? Well, we have Rahab's own words here in verse 9. She says, I know that the Lord has given you this land and the terror of you has fallen on us. So simply Rahab understood who Yahweh was. She had heard about the Israelites' God and what he had done. Actually, a lot of people had that. They knew of God's works and what he was willing to do for his people. And that spread, news of all of that spread. So she used the Lord's personal name here. So that's important. She believed that whatever he said, he would do. And in verse 11, she further gives like a confession of her belief in the Lord when she says, the Lord your God is God in heaven, above, and on earth. Mm-hmm. So with those words, she is saying that he is the one true God, and the other gods are not real gods. Even the idols that her people worshipped were not real gods. So it's an incredible display of faith that we get to read about. Yeah. She then go ahead.
I was going to say, and you notice, and you mentioned that she was one of probably a lot of people who knew the stories all the way back to the Red Sea, which would have been 40 or 50 years earlier than this. She knew the stories, but also the people of Jericho knew the stories, mm-hmm. and their hearts melted, is what scripture says. They completely lost confidence. And so it's interesting that everybody sort of knew what Israel had done and what God had done through Israel, but mm-hmm. the way she responded was so much different than the way that other people around her responded. Mm-hmm. She responded in faith. They responded by shutting down the walls or shutting the gates and trusting their wall. And so, you know, that's a really cool contrast, and it does show the difference of why she and her family were spared and while everybody else was destroyed.
Right. Oh yeah, for sure. So she did ask, we learn in these verses, she did ask of the spies for them to show her family kindness when they returned to take Jericho. She asked for the lives of her family to be spared from death. And so she stepped out in faith in a very high stakes situation and really is an example of trusting God, even when you're in an unwelcome and unexpected and uncertain situation. So, okay, we'll keep going. Joshua chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. The men affirmed that they would show grace and mercy to Rahab and her family as long as she did not reveal their mission. So she helped them escape by letting them down through a window in the city wall. She urged them to go in the opposite direction of the king's agents and to hide for 3 days. Bob, talk to us about these verses.
Okay. One of the first things that pops out is the use of the word rope in verse 15, compared mm-hmm. to the use of the word cord in verses 18 and 21. And there is a difference. They're different Hebrew words. And our resources talk about this a little bit, but I kind of grew up thinking, you know, whatever they climbed out of the window with is what was hanging there when they marched around the walls and the walls fell down. But based on the Hebrew wording, that's not true. That's not the case. They are actually different. Maybe the rope that she let them down with was more utilitarian, maybe something that was laying around the house, you know, maybe something that was used to bind some of the sheaves that were up on the roof. The cord was more of a fabric, more of a ribbon or a string or something like that. And of course, it was red, which, you know, some folks will point to that and say, hey, you know, that's a sign of the blood of Jesus. Well, probably not. You know, most scholars think that it just happens to be red. It does, though, kind of remind us of the blood of the Passover, mm-hmm. where the Israelites marked their doors with red, with blood. And the angel passed over. And in this case, Rahab marked her door, her window, with a red cord. And the angel again passed over. I don't know if, and we'll get into this as we talk about other sessions down the road, but when the walls fell down, I don't know if, I'm assuming that everything except her part of the house, her part of the wall fell down.
Yeah.
And somehow, miraculously, her wall didn't fall down. But whatever, that red cord meant something. Mm-hmm. So that's something to kind of get your teeth into as a leader as well. The other thing I'd say is take a look at the confidence that everybody had and demonstrated in this passage. We live in a really skeptical and cynical culture. Big news flash there, I know.
Yeah.
But these verses reveal what trust looks like on multiple levels in multiple contexts. For example, the men, the spies, trusted Rahab with their lives, and they even pledged their lives to her based on that confidence. They gave her the rules, and they really believed that she was going to keep the rules. They believed she was going to protect their secret. And second, the men demonstrated absolute confidence in God. The capture of Jericho was not if God does this, but when God does this. They absolutely believed and trusted that God was going to do what he said he would do. And to be honest, talking to Rahab and hearing how the rest of Jericho was responding to God's word probably boosted their confidence quite a bit and helped them believe God even more. And finally, Rahab trusted the spies. In short term, she protected them and pointed them toward a safe direction. But in the long term, she obeyed their instructions to the letter. She did exactly what they told her to do, and she was blessed because of it. All in all, this confidence reflects their faith in God. God is the big picture. God is the main character of this story. Mm-hmm. And confidence in each other on an individual level is often a reflection of confidence in God at a macro level. A bigger picture. And so that's something that maybe as an application activity or as an application mm-hmm. question, you challenge the folks in your small group to think about, okay, who do you have confidence in? Why do you have confidence in them? Who do you trust? Why do you trust? How does that compare to the trust you have in God? Have some discussions about that and urge them to evaluate their trust and their confidence in God, moving out of the classroom and into the real world during the week.
Yep. Goodness, that's helpful. Our final scripture division for today is Joshua 2, verses 17 through 21. As they left, the Israelite spies again stated their commitment to the oath they had made to Rahab and her family. And as a sign of her commitment, they told her to leave the scarlet cord hanging from the window, and Rahab did as she was directed. So these verses, we get kind of the conditions, a little bit of what you just talked about, Bob. We get the conditions that would be in place for this oath to be kept by both parties. They had agreed to protect her family when the Israelite army returned, but there were some things that they would have to do to get that protection. So Rahab would have to tie the scarlet cord to her window. Her family would need to all gather in her home, and they could not go outside, which I think makes a whole lot of sense. And then she could not report them or the Israelites' mission to the authorities. So if any of those conditions were not met, the spies would be free from keeping their end of the oath to spare her family from harm. And so Rahab agreed. She is just such an integral part of today's study passage that our summary statement, even for the whole session, focuses on how God used Rahab for his purposes. And that statement is this: God used Rahab, an imperfect person, to accomplish his plans. And Bob has already really touched on this, but I think there's a whole lot of encouragement in that statement for us, for our own personal application of how God can use us, because his plans still continue. He has purposes and plans for his people today to carry on his mission. And so he can use us. He wants to use us. And we just have to be available and let him use us. Okay, well, we are getting to the part of the podcast where we say, don't miss this. Bob, what should leaders not miss this week?
There's a lot of great stuff. And you and I kind of talked about this before we started recording. I know that you mentioned the pack item 3, the key people in Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. I would encourage folks to continue to look at that and mm-hmm. try to integrate that throughout the quarter, because there's just some good information on people there. But since you talked about that last week, let me talk about something else. On page 31 of the leader guide, at the bottom of the page, there's an option, a group activity option, that's centered around a Bible skill. And that Bible skill is a word study. It's also in the personal study guide as well. It's a Bible skill. It's a word study related to the word kindness, which is the Hebrew word hesed. It's basically loving kindness or mercy in some translations, loyalty in some translations, but it gives you some instructions on looking at where that word is used in different places, especially how it describes God's character mm-hmm. in those passages, and how we're called to reflect that character in our daily lives. It's one of the reasons it makes it so important is because this is not the last time we're going to see this word. It's going to pop up again as we go through Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. We're going to see the mercy of God and his call on us to reflect that mercy to others. And so having a good grasp of what hesed, that Hebrew word, means is going to be beneficial going through the rest of the quarter.
Yeah. And honestly, you see that You see that same word in a lot of scripture.
Yes.
You see it in the Psalms an awful lot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a great word to know.
Yeah.
Well, Bob, thank you for joining us to discuss session two today.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
Yep. Well, don't miss next week's episode as we discuss session three, and it will be a study of Joshua chapter 3, verses 14 through chapter 4, verse 9. I'll be with Chris Brown, the team leader for Explore the Bible Students, and we hope you'll join us.